shatayo. Hiala la la borrando la la borri handa yo rolo la basatari. If you believe that right now, you ought to clap your hands to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 2. And then Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. The Bible tells us this in Matthew, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I'll go to Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, and Jesus says these specific words, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Period. If you notice, that ends in a period. It's not a comma, it's not a semicolon, it's not a question mark. But it's a period, and we know what a period is. It's final, it's established, it's certain. When you look at even 2 Peter, it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Again, it finishes with a period, that it's final, that it is the word of God. It's not a question, will he heal? It's not a question that we have to wonder if God is the healer, but we can know with assurance that Jesus is the healer, period. Hallelujah. You ought to turn around to two or three people and tell them in just a moment, God is going to heal you. Come on, tell them like you believe it. In just a moment, God is going to heal you. Because that is what he's going to do tonight. My wife already declared it, that tonight Jesus is in this place to do the miraculous. These signs shall follow them that believe. And I believe that there's a lot of people in here tonight that believe that Jesus is the healer. Come on, it's not an accident that we sang, you are the Most High God. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Look to your neighbor and tell him, come on, can't you feel that? Come on, I feel great faith tonight. I feel great anticipation tonight. Oh, and I am thrilled to be here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be long, because we're going to let God do what God does. If you believe that, you ought to clap your hands before you're seated. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. Thank you, brother and sister Linda, for all of your kindness and love. We are so, so humbled to be here tonight. And thank you. We love this church. We love this family. And we're so grateful to you, church, for allowing your pastor to come every year and Sister Coretia to come every year and teach. Because time can't even allow for us to share all the miracle stories that God has done every single time that they've come. And they have truly been a blessing to the German-speaking nations. And thank you, Sister Linda, for allowing that to happen. But I am thrilled because Jesus is here tonight. Yeah, that's right. You know, I began to think about this scripture, and we've all have read it at one point, and sometimes we skim over them. But when you begin to really look at the scriptures, you see the assurance that we can have in the Word of God, that the Word of God will never fail, and the Word of God will never turn us in a direction that we did not want to go. I'm reminded in Isaiah when the scripture tells us that he will not allow his word to return void. We can be reassured that whatever the word says, that it will come to pass, because God is not a man that he could lie or that he would let his word fall to the ground and not come to pass. That's why we can walk into a service like this tonight and we begin to worship and we begin to magnify the name of Jesus and we begin to glorify collectively the power of the name of Jesus. That's why worship is so important. Every time that we come into the presence of God, every time that we wake up in the morning, that we begin to worship, because worship is the one thing that will open the doorway to the miraculous. I think of the scripture that says enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's not a matter of just saying, oh, I'm thankful to be here. But what the writer was declaring, that when we walk into his presence, that we literally lift up holy hands as an act of surrender to Jesus. That's why when we begin to worship with our hands raised, we're literally saying, Jesus, it's all about you. It's not a matter of what I've got. It's not a matter of my problem. It's not a matter of my sickness or disease or circumstance, but it's all about you, Jesus. That's why there's something to be said when we raise up our hands. We may not understand fully what we're doing, but something begins to happen when we lift up holy hands to Jesus. Because when we lift our hands, it's an act of complete surrender. We're saying, God, I give you my past, I give you my present, I give you my future. And when we begin to worship, it doesn't matter about the music. It doesn't even matter if you can understand the words or not. All that matters is that we realize, you know what? Jesus is here tonight, and I'm going to worship him simply for who he is. Worship's amazing. Worship is powerful. It's electrifying. You know, we travel around to a lot of churches. And there's a lot of churches I don't want to go back to. And there's a lot of churches I want to come back to. Especially one like this. And I honor you for when you came in tonight, that you had prayer in this auditorium tonight. There's something supernatural that when prayer is in the same place where the word goes forth and where worship is, when you bind those three together of prayer, worship, and the word, something happens. You can walk in. Those of you that it's your first time tonight, you could probably agree that you felt something in this place tonight, because I know I did. It's been over a year since I've been here. I think 2 years since I've been here, and I felt something supernatural in this place tonight. It's because you began to let the Spirit of God flow freely. I know you had a busy day at work. I know you dealt with situations. I know you got problems in your life, but Jesus is here tonight, and you realize, you know what? I got one chance, and I'm gonna worship him no matter what. See, worship is the way that we step in to the supernatural and we begin to see the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. Why? Because worship focuses on Jesus and not the problem. Worship takes the burden off of ourselves and puts it back on Jesus where it belongs in the first place. Worship reminds us and everyone around us that we don't care how big the problem is or how fearful we may be at times, but Jesus is in control. Worship takes our eyes completely off of ourselves and puts them on Jesus where they belong in the first place. That's why the psalmist says, I look to the hills from where cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Hey. I refuse to walk with my head down. I refuse to carry my head down. But I will stand with my head raised up, because He's the one who is my help. He's the one who is my deliverer. And when I focus on Him completely, He steps in and says, I am the one that's in charge completely. What's amazing about worship? My dad in January of this year calls me in Switzerland. We're getting ready for AMTC in February. It's the 31st of January, and we're preparing for the 2nd of February to kick off our Bible school. And he calls me and says, "Son, I got to tell you something. I'm just leaving the doctor, and I've got lung cancer." What do you do when you're 6,000 miles away but say, "All right, Dad, let's just pray"? Come on, that's the best thing to do. It's no sense in getting upset about it, because God's in control. And so we just trusted God and believed. And on the 1st of February, my wife, along with Brother and Sister Stark from Columbus, were sitting around the table of the Airbnb that they had rented. And Brother Robinette calls me. He's with the missionary team in Vienna. And he says, "Brother Holzman, we're going to pray for your dad right now, and God's going to heal him." I said, "All right." So we put the phone on speakerphone, and we all began to pray in two different nations for my dad. My dad wasn't even on the phone. He was in bed. This was 9 o'clock at night. We're 6 hours ahead of here right now. And so, he's at work. I'm sorry. But we began to pray for him. And as we were praying, I saw the hand of God just go to my dad's lung and just touch it. It didn't remove the lung, didn't wipe the cancer off. He just touched it. And I was reminded a little later on that the woman with the issue of blood, all she needed was a touch. That's it. And on the 12th of February, my wife and I returned to North America. On the 13th of February, my dad went for a biopsy. On the 15th of February, his cancer doctor called him and said, "I am completely dumbfounded. There is no cancer in your body at all." See, that's what happens when we recognize, "God, I know I'm dying right now. I know I've got a disease in my body, but I'm not going to refuse. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to stop worshiping you, because you're in control." See, he didn't tell me at the time, but it was in both lungs. It was in his central lymph node system. It was in his pancreas. I got the scan on my phone. My dad was eat up with cancer, but Jesus stepped in, because I just worshiped for my dad. I worshiped and realized, "God, you're the healer, and I know that you're going to heal tonight." I watched a lady just this past weekend in Montreal. She came to the altar. She was worshiping. Afterwards, we began to testify of different miracles that God had just done. And I asked, "Was there anybody that had a lump on them that is completely gone now?" She raised her hand. She said, "I had a bulging hernia right here on my waist." And she said, "I just reached down and it's gone. It's not there anymore." See, that's what happens when we just begin to worship Jesus for who He is. We take our eyes off the problem. We take our eyes off the sickness. We take our eyes off of the issue, and we put them on Jesus, where they belong in the first place. See, if we can remember, our problem is never about us. Our sickness is never about us. The death in our family or our friends or our community is never really about us at all. Yes, we go through it, but that's what the Holy Ghost, it gives us the power and the ability to walk through life, not by ourselves, but with confidence, knowing, you know what? I'm walking through hell right now, but Jesus is the healer. That's why when we lift our head, we realize, "God, it's really all about you in the first place. And you're going to give me strength. You're going to give me the ability. And you are going to heal me." I watched a lady walk to an altar on Easter Sunday. She She just raised her hands and she began to worship, tears flowing down her face. She wasn't doing anything but worshiping Jesus. And all of a sudden she grabs her ears and begins to scream with this shrill, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear. See, there's something to be said that when we walk to an altar, we don't come begging God for something. We don't come begging God for a miracle, but we simply begin to just worship Him because He is the miracle worker, because He is the healer. We don't have to stir Him up to make Him the healer. He already is the healer. We don't got to prop Him up to make Him become the miracle worker. He already is the miracle worker because He said, by My stripes ye were healed. By My stripes ye are healed. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. There's something to be said that even when an individual is not present, that God honors the faith of individuals. Just like He did, He honored the faith of those that began to pray for my dad, and He healed my dad at that moment. We were in Tennessee just a few weeks ago, and there was a young lady who was standing in for her mom who had a tumor. We prayed, and worship broke. The word of faith went forward, and before the pastor even dismissed, the girl got a phone call from her mother that was being treated at a hospital, and she said, I don't know what just happened, but my tumor has begun to shrink because Jesus said, you know what? I see faith of a bunch of people. I see faith of somebody that believes even when she's not present that I am still the healer. Simple. Jesus is healer. Final. It's not up to us to try to figure out. It's not up for us to say, but. No, we can't. You can't go but, because there's not a but referring to what Jesus is. It says, by My stripes ye are healed, period. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, period. There's not a but there. All we've got to do is recognize and realize, Jesus, this is what Your word says. And so if Your word declares it, that means that You must be what Your word says that You are. That's why I'm not going to become weary. I'm not going to become burdened. I'm not going to become afraid or fearful. All I'm going to do is look up and realize that You're in control, that You're a healer, that You're the one with all power, that You're the one with all authority, and I'm just going to worship You and watch You do what You do. Tell you a funny story. My wife and I had kind of been basing out of the Ohio area where my family's from. And my mother has been sick for the last 10 years, and she's really been sick for the last year. For the last 2 months, she's actually been bedridden. She's lost a ton of weight. And honestly, the Monday that we left to go to St. Louis for School of Missions, my wife even said, it feels like there's death in this place. And my mother even said, I feel like I'm dying. And so we prayed that night and she said, I feel better. But that's the type of problem that was going on in my mom. The doctor said she had an autoimmune disease and that she was suffering from H. pylori, which is a virus that gets into the lining of the stomach and begins to eat away at it. And I've been told it's almost like a corkscrew that begins to dig itself in to the lining of your stomach. And so my mother has been very sick for the last year. And so about a week later, my mother was rushed to the hospital because she began to have symptoms of a stroke. Her face actually began to pull. And so they rushed her with the ambulance to the hospital. And I was actually at my grandparents' house. And I got the call from my sister. And so I left my grandparents and I rushed to the hospital. And they had just arrived. That says I was going a little fast because my sister had called me 10 minutes before that. And so I rushed to the hospital, and I got in the ER room, and the nurses, there's about six of them around my mom, and if there's any nurses in here, you know the process by when the ambulance brings somebody in, how the transition into the ER takes place. And they were preparing this, and they were getting my mother hooked up, IV, blood pressure, all of that. And I walked into the room, and the nurse said, "You've got to go. You're not allowed to be in here." And I said, "I've come to do one thing." And she said, "No, you don't understand. We've got to get your mother ready. We're changing her into the gown." And I said, "I've come to do something." I looked at the nurses, and I said, "You do what you need to do, and let me do what I want to do." And she just looked at me and said, "Okay." And so I walked to the head of my mom, and I just looked to the wall, and I laid my hand on my mother's forehead as they were changing her and they were hooking her up. And I began to pray the word of faith and speak faith and speak healing over my mom. They kept her in the hospital for 3 days. And on the second day, my sister called me and said, "She's not doing well. She's having bad migraines and she's vomiting a lot, and they just can't figure out what the problem is." And I walked into that hospital room, and the room was completely dark. They had a washcloth over my mother's eyes to cover any light that may try to come in. And she was laying over a basin. We walked into that room, and I didn't even ask my mom how she was feeling. I walked right to her bedside, and I laid my hand on her forehead, and my sister and I began to pray with authority. And the moment that I said, "In the name of Jesus," my mother turned to her back, and she says, I feel better. The headache's gone. The nausea's gone. And she began to sit up in the bed. She took the basin away. She said, "You can turn the lights on now." She said, "You can also open the windows." 5 minutes later, the nurses walked in and said, What just happened? You look completely different." And from that day, after that moment that we prayed with her, there's not been a single problem at all. Simply because Jesus is the healer. She's not been in bed, but she's been up every day. She called me the other day and she said, "I was in the garden weeding and picking weeds out of my flower beds," something she hasn't done in years. But Jesus is the healer. You can't tell me different, because I've watched him heal my dad. I've watched him heal my mother. I've watched him open deaf ears, open blinded eyes, heal tumors, heal cancers, because he's the healer. I'm almost done. Sister Amelie, hallelujah, Jesus. God's doing it right now. There's some of you that walked in this place tonight. You were in pain, but there's a miracle happening right now that you can literally feel the virtue of heaven flowing through your body right now. Some of you have been carrying some heaviness for a long time, and right now you're beginning to feel a load being lifted off of your shoulders. You know, I think back to the Old Testament. You've got Naaman, the prophet, the man of God told him, "Go dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan River and you're going to be healed." He thought he was crazy. He said, and I can imagine what is going through his mind, a wealthy man, royalty. I've got the best doctors in the world, and you're telling me to go get in a Jordan River that's nasty, that's full of disease and infection. But what do I got to lose? Nothing. So he goes down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can imagine at that sixth moment, he's thinking, this is completely idiotic. This guy is nuts. And when I get out of here, I want to make sure that he doesn't convince somebody else ever again to do this. But I got one more time. 7. And all of a sudden, he begins to look at him. He begins to look at his skin. And those disease that was there isn't there anymore. Those boils aren't there anymore. The problem isn't there anymore. See, you say, but preacher, I've carried this for a long time, and I went to the altar every time that the preacher said that God was going to heal me, and nothing has happened. I've only become discouraged and full of despair because I got faith. I know God's healer, but tonight I prophesy over you tonight. God's not asking you just to respond, but God's asking for you to realize, you know what? I'm healer. I'm the one that has all power. All it takes is one moment for us to step into the throne room of God, and God says, now I'm gonna do it because I've watched you. You've not been concerned with your problem. You've not been concerned with your disease, but all you were concerned about is that I would be glorified. Stand with me tonight. This is what we're going to do tonight. Eventually, all of us are going to get down here. But when I call whatever problem that you have, I want you to rush down here. I don't want you to worry about what people may think or what they may look at you like. Remember, the woman with the issue of blood, when she stepped out into the crowd, she made a complete spectacle of herself, but she reached a point after 12 years. I don't care any longer. All I care about is that when I get to him, he's going to heal me. If you've got cancer in your body, I want you to come down here on my left quickly. Any type of cancer, leukemia. If you know somebody that's got cancer, I want you to come down here quickly. They don't got to be here for God to heal them. Quickly, quickly. So all the way over to my left. Slide all the way over. If you've got any type of lump, any type of tumor on you, I want you to come and I want you to stand right beside him. You've got any type of lameness, you walk with a limp, I want you to stand beside him. If you've got any type of lump, or excuse me, if you've got any type of lameness, I want you to stand right here. You can feel it in this place right now. You can feel it. There's something stirring right now. God says, I'm ready. I'm ready. If you're dealing with any type of high blood pressure or sugar diabetes, I want you to come and I want you to stand over here on my right quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. If you're already down here when I call something, you just stay where you are. Just stand and we're going to pray in a moment. If you're dealing with any type of mental anguish, fear, depression, or anxiety, I want you to come and I want you to stand on my right. We may need to gather in a tight. Heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease. I want you to come and I want you to stand down here on my right also. You're battling migraines. My mother had the migraines where her eyes were black and blue. God healed her that day in the hospital room. I want you to come and stand right here on my right, quickly. Quickly. You're battling with addictions, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sexual addictions, illicit addictions. I want you to come and I want you to stand on my left, quickly. Diseases in your blood, anemia, fatigue. Come and stand over here on my right. Now, if you've got pain in your body, I want you to come and I want you to line this whole front behind. Step forward on this side, if you will, so we can let other people come in. If you've got pain in your body right now, I want you to come quickly, because God's about to heal you. God is about to heal. God is about to heal. Just wait, we're going to pray in a moment. We're going to pray in a moment. If I missed any type of disease or any type of infirmity, would you just raise your hand? Well, you're down here already, so that's good. But anybody still said, I want you to come. All right. Bring him with you. You can feel it right now, can't you? There's great faith in this place right now. Jesus said to the woman that had a daughter that was vexed, he said, woman, I've never seen anybody with the type of faith that you have. Whatever you ask for, I'll grant it. And that's the type of faith that's in this place right now. Now, I want the rest of you, because you're well, I want you to all come down now. I want you to gather across this whole front. Minister team, I want you to stay up here on the platform with me. I want you to tell your neighbor, we're going to do five things. And God's going to heal everybody. Tell them. We're going to do five things and God's going to heal everybody. The first thing that we're going to do. We've already talked about it. But I want you to practice raising your hands. Raise them as high as you can. Why do we raise up our hand? Because we've said already, the moment that we raise our hands, it's a sign of surrender to Jesus. We surrender our problem. We surrender our sickness. We surrender our disease. We surrender our infirmity. We surrender our past, present. We surrender our future to Him. Go ahead and put your hands down. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to pray with our eyes closed when we pray, because we don't need to be distracted by anyone or anything. We need to focus completely on Jesus. The third thing that we're going to do is we're going to lift our head up. I want you to practice that. Just lift your head. Why do we lift our head? Because if your head is hung low, looking down, that is a sign of shame, fear, and doubt. And God cannot honor shame, fear, and doubt. But the moment that you raise up your head, it says, I've got boldness, I've got courage, and I got faith. And God always honors boldness, courage, and faith. You feel it, don't you? You feel faith flowing through here. It's like a wave tank that just keeps sloshing back and forth, moving back and forth, just ready to be released on all of us in this place. The fourth thing we're going to do is we're all going to repent, all of us, even me, because we don't need to get in God's way tonight. Our problems can get in God's way. Our mindset can get in God's way. Our past and our present can even get in God's way. Our even mindset can get in God's way. And so repentance is not saying that you tell your dirty secrets to your neighbor. On the contrary. But literally we begin to open our heart and our mouth, and we begin to say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of what I've done. Forgive me of what I've said. Forgive me of what I've touched, what I've looked at, what I've thought. Forgive me of how I've treated people. Wash me, cleanse me, purify me, God. Forgive me of my negativity. Forgive me, Lord God, for not realizing and remembering that you're healer. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Jesus, wash it all away. See, that's repentance. It's from a sincere heart, out of your mouth to heaven. You can't think repentance. You've got to speak it. The last thing we're going to do is, as we repent, we're just going to begin to worship. If it's cancer, we're going to worship because God's healer. If it's sickness, disease, infirmities, we're just going to worship. We're not going to ask Him for healing. We're going to worship Him because He is healer. We're not going to get sidetracked by us, by the problem, but we're going to focus completely on Jesus and realize and remember that God, your healer. So just begin to worship Him. And wait a minute. As we repent, and we're just going to go in and begin to worship Him. And I'm going to speak the word of faith over every single one of us. I'm going to curse every sickness, everything that we've named, everything that's lined up here tonight. I'm going to curse it and command it to leave every single person. And I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to shout hallelujah. And when I shout hallelujah, that is the moment that God is going to heal your body. And when you hear me shout hallelujah, I want you to open your mouth, lift up your voice, and begin to shout hallelujah as loud as you can. And when you do, virtue's gonna flow through your body. And I just want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Church, those of you that are down here that don't got a problem, I need you to help me pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. I need you to help me pray for these people tonight. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you ought to pray in the Holy Ghost, because Titus says praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy, precious faith. And let's let faith rise in this place tonight. Are you ready? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Are you ready for God to heal? Are you ready for a healing? Are you ready for your miracle? Lift your hands right now. Lift your head, close your eyes, and let's just begin to repent right now. Lord God, forgive me. Forgive me of what I've done. Forgive me, Lord God, of my wrong. Forgive me, Lord God, of the things that I've done, Lord. God, wash me, cleanse me, renew me, Lord God. God, I need more of you. God, don't let me be separated from you. Don't let me be separated from you, Lord Jesus. I pray right now, Lord God, wash it all away from me, God. Don't let anything hinder what you want to do tonight in me. That's it. Let it rest.